America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is The Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great Friday where there's one really great movie that is released today, which we'll tell you about. It's historical, it's thrilling, it's informative, it's very relevant to the situation in Ukraine with a potential Russian attack on the Ukrainians. We'll be reviewing that, and we'll also be reviewing what is one of the worst movies of the year, almost certainly, despite the presence of some major stars. We will also be talking about a Call of the Week classic, because it's on a full moon, and this one actually gets people howling pretty well with conspiracy theories, which are always appropriate. And speaking of conspiracy theories, these new documents that have been shifted over because of the Supreme Court decision earlier this week, 700 pages of documents about the plans that were being cooked up for January 6th before it happened. And speaking of January 6th and people trying to get ready and to use January 6th as a subject for the upcoming elections in 2022 and the upcoming presidential elections in 2024, there's some information about weapons. Guns that were stored for use on January 6th. That's pretty scary, actually. And we will get to that. And speaking of fairly scary, there is a determined group of women in Ocean Cities, Maryland. Maryland's Ocean City. I mean, that's where it's occurring. There's a group of women who are crusading and apparently headed to the Supreme Court in their legal battle to sunbathe topless. You talk about important liberties, there it is. And does it all sound better when it's voiced by Tom Hanks? That is something we also need to talk about. Plus the latest on the Ukraine crisis and the latest on the completely absurd attempts by people on the left to link election reform, and including an election reform that is now drawing bipartisan support. Yeah, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema have both endorsed it, plus about 10 other Republicans. What is it? We will get to that. It's very important and very much worthwhile. But there is also the apology by Governor Gavin Newsom, an apology to whom? To gangs for apparently having insulted, said some offensive stuff about violent gangs. You'd think they wouldn't be so easily offended, but there they are. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. And most importantly of all, there's some very encouraging news about Omicron, and basically maybe, just maybe, coming to a decisive turning point, and the turning point we've wanted to. There's a big piece in the Wall Street Journal that just posted it, as a matter of fact, about information on tests this week that should encourage everybody who is tired. And that's, I think, every single human being. I think they're dogs who are tired. They're hamsters. They were liquidating hamsters, and there were protests about that. But again, have we had enough in terms of the virus? I think we have. Okay, have we had enough anticipating 2024? No, because I think that a lot of people who are very disappointed with President Biden, a lot of people who do not see President Trump as a wonderful, golden, scintillating, inspiring alternative to President Biden, those of us, and again, it's very obvious to people, should be if you listen to me at all, I think that one of the worst things that could happen to the United States politically would be another Trump-Biden race. It would be appalling. And I don't think we would get the big turnout, the epic turnout that we actually got in 2020. There would be a lot of people who stayed home. And there's a proof about that. There's actually a very good column over at Hot Air from Ala Pundit. And the headline is Dem Doom. And what he's talking about is just 28% of Americans want Biden to run in 2024. Isn't that incredible? Less than a third of the people would like the president to even run. They want him to just go away, retire, enjoy his retirement and his family and what will definitely be an interesting memoir. And he has lots and lots and lots of story to tell, including the 36 years he was on Capitol Hill. Okay, that's for Biden. And the way that Ala Pundit writes, and Ala Pundit is certainly somebody on the right side of things, and I don't mean right as in necessarily correct, but on terms of the right wing. He would describe himself as an enthusiastic member of the right. And he says, let's do the good news first. Exactly 1 year into his presidency, not even a third of the country says it wants the current guy back on the ballot even in 2024. Meanwhile, his heir apparent is widely perceived as less viable than he is. That makes Democrats easy pickings for the GOP 3 years from now, in theory. But who are the Democrats supposed to run if their own voters don't want another 4 years of Biden and if Harris is unelectable? And which brings us to the bad news for Republicans. They're prepared to renominate a candidate who scored even lower than Biden when people were asked if he should run again in 2024. They asked the same question, same poll. And it's the Associated Press National Opinion Research Center poll. 28% say they want to see Biden run again. What percentage want to see Trump run again? 27%. And again, would you, if you were asked that question, would you say, yes, I want to see Joe Biden run again? And no trick answer. So the trick answer would be that if you were a Republican and you just wanted a Republican to win, you might say, well, great, let's have Joe Biden run because he'll lose. But given the fact that the same percentage overwhelmingly, I mean, in Trump's case, you have 73% of the country saying, no, we'd rather not have Donald Trump on the ballot. And here's the amazing thing. It used to be that the Republicans loved Trump, everybody else not so much. But here they asked a question. And what they asked is, if you were a Republican or you describe yourself as leaning to the Republicans, do you consider yourself to be more of a supporter of Donald Trump or more of a supporter of the Republican Party? Now, when they've asked this question before, more people said support of Donald Trump. People didn't care about the Republican Party. Now, what it says is when they ask that question, 56% of people say it's more important to be a supporter of the Republican Party. That's who I am. I'm a Republican. And only 36% said it was more important to be a supporter of Donald Trump. That's a good development for the Republican Party, because what it means, first of all, is going into the 2022 election, it means a lot of those people with an R behind their name are going to get a boost, whether or not they get a big endorsement from former President Trump. We'll be back with that and the latest on the investigation of January 6th and much, much more anti-Semitism in the news. Again, that and more coming up on The Medved Show. We'll be right back.
Join in your daily dose of debate.
You are not always right. Get a grip. You are not always right.
The Michael Medved Show.
Get a grip.
And there is a question that seems to me to be right and necessary right now, which is in the state of Washington, with scores from schools, which have been interrupted so much and disrupted so much by the pandemic, et cetera, but the scores for students are terrible. I mean, it's just a huge disappointment. It's been going in the wrong direction. And so what do they want? More money. Would that fix it? We will be talking about that with the Washington Policy Center a little bit later in the show. But first up, this truly astonishing situation that we have, where a serious poll now really calls into question the idea that so many people have had that it's just an automatic, you can just take it to the bank. The nominee for the Republican Party is going to be Donald Trump in 2024, and the nominee for the Democratic Party is going to be Joe Biden. He said he's running for re-election, and unless there's some kind of health crisis, he probably will run for re-election. But should he be there? What the poll shows is that 72% of Americans don't want to see Joe Biden on the ballot. They don't want him to run. And 73% of Americans don't want Donald Trump to run. They would prefer that he not go onto the ballot. So the question becomes, how is it possible that when people are asked, what's your impression, positive or negative, of Donald Trump, nationwide it's overwhelmingly negative and getting worse and falling? But on the Republican Party, 77% of people say they have a positive impression of Donald Trump. That can include lots of people who are out there who think he did a great job, I liked him as president, but we got to do something else or we're going to lose. And really, it is time for the nation to make a fresh turn. Now, if you're one of those people, if you're part of that big American majority who doesn't want to see either Donald Trump or Joe Biden on the ballot, who would you like to see on the ballot? You can call on that. 1-800-955-1776. The Ala Pundit writes in this thoughtful piece, it's elementary electoral politics that the GOP's 2024 chances would improve by nominating someone lacking the enormous amount of baggage that Trump brings with him, beginning with the fact that he tried to overturn the last election he was involved in. When an incumbent's doing as dismally as Biden is, basic strategy is to make the next election a referendum on him. Democrats use that strategy successfully against Trump. In fact, highlighting his pandemic response in 2020 and otherwise keeping Biden hidden away in his basement. Nominating someone other than Trump in 2024 would turn that referendum approach around on the Dem, keeping Biden's record front and center. Whereas running Trump again would turn it into a, quote, choice election, forcing voters to choose whether they want four more years of the hapless and senescent Democrat or four more of the loose cannon who nearly pulled off a coup once before. By the way, I don't think he nearly pulled it off. I think he thought about pulling it off. But we were very, very far away from a coup, in my opinion. In any event, before what they conclude is Trump isn't a sure loser in that contest, but he's hardly a sure winner either. And there's no way to out-poll Trump running to his left in the primary. And this becomes the basic point that Rich Lowry over National Review makes. He says there's no way to out-poll Trump by running to his left in a Republican primary. But someone who ran to his right by criticizing Trump's ability to deliver on MAGA priorities might be onto something. Why didn't he build that wall? And he, even though he says he did, he didn't. And Mexico didn't pay for it either. Why did he let Fauci convince governors to shut down the country? Why didn't he rein in China? Why couldn't he beat Joe Biden? There's a populist-friendly line of attack ready and waiting for any candidate willing to use it. Is there one? And Alipundit says, I'll leave you with Biden's latest attempt to revive his political fortunes, getting Tom Hanks to narrate a video about how awesome the past year has been. Believe it or not, this is an old Simpsons joke come to life. Now, what does he mean about that? What he means is that there is a new video made by Biden's inaugural committee, which is marking the first anniversary in office by blanketing airwaves with a Tom Hanks, it really is, narrated video promoting a recovering and resilient America. It sounds like this with Amanda Gorman. Remember her, the very impressive 22-year-old black poet who spoke at Biden's inauguration. And then Tom Hanks explains what it's all about. Now, this is clip 8A.
For there is always light if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it.
If only we're brave enough to live through two of the most difficult years many of us can remember, brave enough to pull ourselves up again and again. America is the home of the brave. It's why we keep getting up, no matter how many times we get knocked down, like with our economy. It isn't all the way back, but it's getting stronger. We may be entering year three of a pandemic none of us wanted or expected, but we're moving. Restaurants have opened their doors. Shops and businesses are buzzing again all over the country. More jobs were created in 2021 than in any year in the last 80 years.
Okay, Tom Hanks, he does have a voice that reassures. But is that going to mean a victory or even a candidacy necessarily for Joe Biden? We'll get to your calls in just a moment. And then also talk about what is happening with the release of these 700 pages of documents to the committee that's investigating the January 6th. Do you know they have a staff of over 300 people that they are working on with this investigation? They've come up with some pretty interesting stuff this last time about, memoranda and documents that actually the Trump administration created and then filed with the National Archives. So, yeah, it's relevant. We'll be back with that and with your calls coming up on The MedVed Show, 1-800-955-1776.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
And on The Michael Medved Show, a great occasion on this particular Friday, coming toward the end of January, after the full one-year anniversary of managing to survive so far the Biden-Harris presidency. I sign up for a membership in as a MedHead Plus member with 22 cents a day, giving you access to this show and to any of our history programs. Any two of our history programs, just 22 cents a day. And an investment. Costs almost nothing, but you gain, in terms of education particularly, a lot. Okay, let us go quickly to Dave in Seattle. Dave, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hey, Michael, I think it's the nomination is pretty much Trump if he wants it, except two things that would have to happen to kind of stop him. It would be, I think it has to be pointed out to the GOP primary voters that if Trump does win the presidency, he will automatically be a lame duck president because he can only serve one more term. That, and I think whoever does run against him in the primary, there has to be far fewer candidates because it'll pretty much be Trump or someone else. And if it's Trump or someone else, the more candidates there are, the more diluted the vote can be. I know it can't happen, but it would be better if the GOP can have like a pre-primary primary. So it's just Trump versus the other Republican instead of six or seven others. Because if it's that, then you don't even need to hold the primaries. It's his in the bag.
I think you're right. And that, of course, is the biggest thing he has going for him in running for president, is he's so much better known than any of the other potential candidates. I mean, I guess you could say Mike Pence, who is a potential candidate, is well known. But the idea of having a pre-primary, I think that will work itself out to some extent in terms of fundraising. I mean, Trump is going to have the money for making a big race. Some of his potential opponents may not. The one idea about having more than just Trump versus, say, DeSantis, who I guess is considered to be the most likely opponent that he would have this time, is that once you are communicating the idea that there are going to be people who are going to be running against him, that you can choose, it suggests to people what all of this polling is showing Republicans want, which is they would like Trumpism, but without Trump. And I appreciate your call. I do not think that they are overhyping the stuff that has been now handed to the committee, the Benny Thompson, Liz Cheney committee, the House Select Committee investigating January 6th, because they have actual memoranda. They have documents now and things that are impossible to say, oh, we didn't mean this. Well, it's in paper. It's in writing. About speculation and recommendations that were brought to the president, he didn't follow them, about imposing martial law, about the Insurrection Act, about using a potential riot, which they were fully expecting, of course, using that as a basis for having the army seize voting machines. I mean, all of this is really scary and it's wild. And thank God it wasn't actuated. But then again, there are so many questions, and I think it's going to be increasingly difficult after this most recent Supreme Court decision for Trump to continue to ignore them. And does that kind of thing, the idea that you have a president who refuses for the first time in all of American history, and it's never happened before, an incumbent president who refuses to accept an election that he clearly lost. And I think that question is going to cause a lot of conservatives to actually look at the question of having somebody who can win an election. And by the way, that's particularly true if Biden announces early that he is not going to go for a second term. And I think he probably will. Probably after the election that's coming up this November. Meanwhile, they're trying hard for that election and for future elections with this Tom Hanks stuff. I need to finish that because this is from Biden's inaugural committee. And after all of the narration of all the wonderful things that Biden has allegedly done for the country, there's this shows Biden as described and prepared by Tom Hanks, concluding with stirring and hopeful music, and then the president himself. It sounds like this, 8B.
We are stronger than we were a year ago today. From our toughest times, America has always built a brighter future. Yes. We are brave, brave enough to see the light and be the light we need to rebuild this country. We're strong. We are courageous. We are resilient. We are America, land of the brave.
I've long said it's never been a good bet to bet against America. And that's more true today than ever. I've never been more optimistic about America's future. There's nothing beyond our capacity if we do it together.
Okay, and there is the president. Now, I mentioned to you the reference over at Hot Air about this being a Simpsons episode come to life. I had forgotten about this, but of course it was pointed out immediately when they released this Tom Hanks narrated video. The Simpsons actually predicted this years ago. In 2007, in the Simpsons movie, Tom Hanks made a cameo appearance in a political ad for the U.S. government. And here's what that segment sounded like. A fictional Tom Hanks political ad for the government in the Simpsons movie. Listen.
Hello, I'm Tom Hanks. The U.S. government has lost its credibility, so it's borrowing some of mine.
Tussle my hair, Mr. Hanks.
Sure thing, son. This is Tom Hanks saying, if you're going to pick a government to trust, why not this one?
Right, well, why not this one? I think the delivery was a little bit more sober in the actual version of the Tom Hanks ad. Now, are they going to use an ad with Nancy Pelosi talking about everything that President Biden has achieved? She had this to say about that one-year anniversary. This is clip 11.
Today, we mark a proud anniversary. 1 year ago today, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were sworn in as President and Vice President of the United States. Since that historic day, we have seen one of the most impactful first years of a presidency in modern times. In modern times, getting shots in the arms of millions of people, putting money in pockets, delivering the best year of job creation on record. Working together, President Biden and the Democratic Congress, working with all of you, built a strong foundation for much of this progress with our American Rescue Plan.
Okay, is that going to work? I think when you have some of the revelations on crime, it works against it. There's a terrific piece under the heading, Deranged and Violent Homeless Men Are Taking a Terrible Toll on Women. It's actually shocking. We will take a look at that. There's also this, which... I think it's worth paying attention to. The NYPD, under new mayor Eric Adams, is trying to identify a woman who marched up to Jewish children standing outside a Brooklyn synagogue and shouted at them. This is captured on camera. Hitler should have killed you all. I'll kill you, and I know where you live. What next? We'll talk about it coming up on the Medved Show.
Enough of him.
Michael Medved.
Enough of him. It's not worth it to just dwell on him.
Your cultural crusader. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And I'll get to your calls in just a moment. I wanted to finish this brief story from the New York Daily News. NYPD trying to identify a woman and to arrest her who marched up to Jewish children, and she came right up to them. You can see all this because it's caught on security cameras. And the woman... I don't know, Jeremy, the photograph they have of her, and they put the photograph out there. She looks mean. She is white. She is heavy set and obviously angry about something. The NYPD has reported that in the tape, she shouts at a bunch of little kids, and they're kids 8 and 9 years old. They're not teenagers. She comes up to the kids and says, Hitler should have killed you all. I'll kill you, and I know where you live. And she then capped off her lovely presentation by spitting at the kids and spitting on them. She was caught on surveillance video, and cops asked that anyone who recognized her contact Crime Stoppers. This is, I mean, what a country, for goodness sake. Little kids? You're going to shout to about Hitler? Then there is also, well, let us, the woman who allegedly told those kids, Hitler should have killed you all before spitting on an 8-year-old boy in Brooklyn. She has been arrested. Her name is not Karen. It is Christina Darling. She is a 21-year-old student at St. Francis College in Brooklyn. She was busted this morning and charged with aggravated harassment and menacing, both as hate crimes and acting in a manner injurious to a child. That reported by the New York Post. Let us go quickly to Ryan in Salt Lake City. You're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hi, Michael. I just want to give you my what I would call my dream team of potential nominees, any of which I think would be infinitely better than Donald Trump, and see if you have any comment on any of them. I would say Mike Pence, Tim Scott, Paul Ryan, Trey Gowdy, Nikki Haley, or Condoleezza Rice.
You know, you and I think alike. I appreciate the fact that you listen to the show. Bill, I think that Ryan, I think what you're talking about is exactly on point. I frankly think that the dream sort of a race would be, and would say something I think about America, would be Condoleezza Rice, who is a wonderful human being, a brilliant person, a dedicated public servant, and a great communicator. And somebody else who is highly popular and an effective speaker on the other side, Michelle Obama. And again, people who are on the Democratic side, and believe me, there are a lot of them who want not to run with Joe Biden and certainly not to run with Kamala Harris. You can understand how excited they would be about Michelle Obama. Let us go to Sid in Atlanta. Sid, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hey, thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. The vice president has done nothing to anybody. They're usually in the background. All the vice president who I ran with, who I work with presidents, are usually in background. They usually don't show any particular works. But you guys have been pounding on Harris for the longest. But let me also add, main reason I call is Biden will be the next president, and I believe that he will be the next Reagan. You just wait and see it. You already seen the first year. The reason why I say that is because Reagan had the same problems, inflation, and when inflation and all this thing was happening, I believe he came up with tax cut for the rich. Now, the tax cut for the rich has existed all the way up to this point, and it worked. And when Reagan came out with it, people could not believe it, just like the Build Back Better. If the Republicans would let this Build Back Better work, they would see that it would do the same thing as the tax cut has done for the Republicans up to this point. So I think that the similarities are striking.
By the way, I think, Sid, it's an interesting idea. But the difference with Build Back Better is that it's just about spending money. A tax cut is allowing you to keep more of your own money. And one of the things that Arthur Brooks, who's going to be joining us, who writes books about happiness, what makes people happy, people get very happy with the feeling of earning money. They don't get as happy when you win the lottery. But do you think that Biden is going to make the same kind of personal connection with the American people that Reagan did?
Yes, I believe so. And you've already seen the results. He's the people's people. That's it's only been 1 year, guys. Michael Medved, it's only been 1 year. Just wait. Just wait till the 4 years pass.
Well, actually, Joe Biden's going to get a vote of confidence or no confidence to a great extent with the elections for the House and the Senate and the governorships that are all coming up this November. And by the way, you're not alone in this, because one of the things that was striking yesterday, I was looking at all these report cards for Biden, there are very few people that would give Biden a C, as I would, as I mentioned, C minus. But there are a lot of people who would give him an A minus, and they're about 40% of everybody would give the president of the United States a D or an F. So people are very divided, and what he needs to do is to bring up some of those people who are very negative. This came in from Bill in Lake Oswego, Oregon, and he says, Michael, you asked for names of Republicans who listeners would like to see run for president. And he says, number one, not Trump. This is my first choice. The rest are not necessarily in order of preference. Number two, he puts Mitt Romney as somebody who worked very hard for Mitt Romney in 2012 when he ran a close race, had a great challenge against a popular president named Obama. Look, I think Mitt would have a tough time winning the nomination, because a lot of people, somebody to win the nomination and win the presidency on the Republican ticket is going to need to get a lot of people who voted for Trump. And voting twice for Trump's impeachment doesn't diminish my respect for Mitt Romney, but it definitely diminishes his viability for another run for president. He puts Tim Scott, excellent choice, and I agree with that. Ben Sasse. Ben says he doesn't want to run, but they all say that. Nikki Haley and Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin, again, looks so good right now in comparison to where the Democratic Party is going. But I think people need to take a look at some of his background as kind of a classic big-spending liberal before they get too excited about that particular possibility. I mentioned that one of the issues that none of these folks have become identified with yet, but they're going to have to, because it's a huge issue in the country, is the general breakdown in law and order. And there's a report here, and I want to get to this. Deranged and violent homeless men are taking a terrible toll on women. Last Thursday, a 70-year-old nurse named Sandra Shells showed up early at a bus stop near Union Station, which is not far from Skid Row in Los Angeles. That's also where they held the Oscars last year, if you remember. What happened to her that morning made news throughout the region. Police say they responded Thursday, it's yesterday, about 5:15 a.m. to a call of an assault at a bus stop near Union Station. Upon arrival, officers discovered that the suspect, later identified as Carrie Bell, had struck the victim in the face, causing her to fall on the ground and sustain a fractured skull. Police released photos of the suspect. About 90 minutes later, they found him homeless, asleep near the scene. The attack, no provocation and for no reason. So what do we do? We'll get to that in this greatest nation on God's green earth.